Well, I think we could get to the word this morning.
Right, and we are going to be talking about roadblocks, correct?
We're going to talk about roadblocks to healing, and you're going to stick right with me.
Alrighty.
And I've got some hard questions for you.
I'll okay. ask you the questions.
All right, let's go ahead and pray in the name of Jesus. All of you out there that are watching, let's agree together.
Yes.
That the Holy Ghost will take over here. We're just vessels, and whatever the Holy Ghost does is supernatural. And in fact, this is a supernatural encounter right now. This is a supernatural anointing. God's here. God's with us. He's in us. He's for us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he promises to confirm his word with signs following. So wherever you are, let's go ahead and lift up our hands and let's go ahead and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We invite him. He's our teacher, our guide, and I ask you in the name of Jesus that you'd pour out your power upon every person out there that is watching. May their eyes be wide open and ears wide open that they'd hear and their hearts receptive to the Word of God. And then they'll be recipients, not just hearers, but doers of the Word. They'll be receivers, and we thank you for the majesty of your Word, the power of your Word. Anoint us as we pray. As we preach, as we minister, as we say anything, as we do anything here, in the name of Jesus, from now on, I pray, stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. We give you praise in advance for every healing that takes place. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So we're going to talk about the roadblocks to healing. You know, there's roadblocks to healing, and we want to talk about what some of those roadblocks are, the prevalent ones that are just there. And so we're going to, of course, our topic is divine healing. This is not scientific healing or mind healing. This is not, some seminar on how to think, just thinking right, but it's more than that. It's a spiritual divine healing and how to get to that. So let's go to our text is found in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. We're going to look at that. And our main idea this morning is to get rid of any roadblock, get rid of all the things that would make it impossible to heal. Get rid of all the things, all the stuff in your mind, any unscriptural idea, so that we can find our road to healing. So Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, everybody. And the Word of God says, And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So as an introduction, let's say a few things, and just to introduce our topic together this day. And so I don't know if, as I mentioned to you, if you want to send this message out to someone who might need healing this morning, it's critical that they understand these things that we're talking about. So the road of healing is seldom an easy road to drive and to go through. There is no such thing as an expressway to healing. You know, we have expressways in city to get to one place to another real quick without any controversy. But often the road to healing is cluttered with roadblocks that Satan has set up along the way to prevent the seeker of healing to be healed. These roadblocks are often hidden things. They're hidden in traditions. Those roadblocks are hidden in traditions of men, religious ideas, superstition that are not based on scripture, and often they're misunderstood and misappropriated Bible verses from the Old Testament. And let's look at some of the roadblocks today. You know, whatever happened to Israel is a type and shadow of what God wants for us. God told them, I'm going to be your healer. I will be your healer if you follow and do these things. So the Bible tells us in Romans that chapter 15, verse 1 to 6, there it tells us that God says that anything happened to Israel is an example for us. 1 Corinthians also talks about the same thing. That anything that happened, and I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 5, it says, anything that happened to Israel is for our learning. So we can just follow along, and whatever God told Israel is a type and shadow of what he's talking to the church about, or is what he's talking to the individual. And so, and thank God we learned so much this week on the last days. You know, here's something I want to mention to you. If people understand the last days, they won't be afraid of anything that's going on in the world right now. They'll not be afraid. And some people are actually afraid of being left behind. You know, they should have enough faith in the scriptures to know that they'll never be left behind if they believe in Jesus. And some people don't understand. They're afraid of the mark of the beast right now. And if you take, you know, this injection, you know, you're going to be marked in with the rest of them and so on. And man, so many crazy ideas. If people just understand, you know, a little bit of about the last days, or what they call eschatology and different things like that, they will never be afraid that God will let them, you know, be accosted by the enemy and destroyed.
And I like that scripture that we are not appointed unto wrath. So, you know, God cares for his church, mm-hmm. and we are his church. So he's not going to cause us to go through the worst tribulation ever. Yeah. You know, I mean, we're going through some things right now, but that's nothing compared to the tribulations that are coming. So we are going to be with him.
And once the church is gone, I mean, there's going to be a whole lot of trouble. The Holy Spirit will always be here. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not going to be taken away. He's always going to be here. But, you know, it's going to be a little harder for some folks to get healed, or at least saved. Never mind healed, if they're going to live. But anyway, let's come back to what we're talking about, because I'm excited about these things. I mean, there's so much going on out there. It's crazy what some Christians are believing. I mean, they're in the dark. I just pray for you in the name of Jesus that you'll start listening to Scripture. You'll start getting to the Word of God so that you're not going to be afraid. You people of faith, you know, when you're in faith, you have peace in your heart, and you got joy in your step.
Yes.
And so that's an indication. If you're in fear of this, fear of that, you're afraid of that, afraid of what everybody's going to do, hey, the devil's already got you. I'm not going to be taken by the devil, are you?
No, sir.
Okay. I'm glad you're in agreement with that. Because I might have to pray you out. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, so here's the first roadblock. God sent sickness on his people, or God will send sickness. And that's one of the biggest things that people are going to have to overcome, is that the idea that God is sending sickness on people. And we just heard some young lady on Facebook telling people, all that's going on right now is God is judging the world. I don't know where she got that idea. Must have heard some preacher somewhere saying that God is judging everybody. You know, well, this is not about, you know, if you get into the devil's territory, he's going to get you. He's going to do all kinds of stuff. But here, so the first roadblock is that God sends sickness on people. Sometimes they say, you know, I hear people say that I got to pay for my sins, you know. And I remember hearing my mom, she was a really strong religious woman, and so strong that she would die for those beliefs. And she said that God, that the devil is strong, and he's sending the sickness on me, and I got to pay for all my sins. And she got that from religion. And so that some say God sends sickness to teach people lessons, spiritual lessons, so that they can grow and learn and be godly. They often misquote scriptures or misuse scriptures from the Old Testament that seemingly verifies these misleading statements and ideas, because they don't study the Word. I see people sometimes on Facebook, they should not be teaching the Bible unless they start learning the scriptures, learning about the things teaching about. These are actually lies used by Satan to steal health and life from people. So most often they use this scripture found in Exodus 15:26, as we just read. Let's read it again. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. They're saying that this is what God's saying. This scripture here. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Kind of controversial statement, because God's one minute he's saying he's not going to put these diseases upon thee. He brought upon the Egyptians. Then he says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And so let's look at this. Is this scripture here, most often people use this scripture to say, you know, in one breath they say God's my healer, and the next breath they said God's putting healing sickness on people. Now let's go. We're going to clarify this scripture in a moment, but let's look at another statement that of scripture that people often think about. Scriptures like this that is, you know, something like what we just read, but that God is doing all these evil things. Let's go over here to Isaiah 45 and verse 7. Hope you're finding your Bible. Write these scriptures down. Write some of the comments down and read your Bible. And I don't know, some 40 years ago, I decided I was going to read the Bible and study it. And over 23 years ago, 23 years ago, you and I decided to read the Bible every day. And we've done it every day together almost. Sometimes not. Sometimes I'm reading something else because I'll fall asleep. But I catch up. Sometimes I miss. But we've been doing this for 23 years, reading the Bible together at night and, you know, study the Word of God. So study your Bible, make a time where you're going to decide. My wife and I decided that we're ministers. We're mom and dad. We're going to, you know, have enough faith for ourselves, but also for each other and for our family. And not everybody's going to walk. I mean, I'm in my 60s. And, you know, sometimes I'll try to apply the same kind of thing on someone else in their 20s or 30s. They're making their own mistakes. And God bless them. God will help them along the way. And we didn't just change overnight. Often, sometimes people get saved, they come to church, and we want them to be just as good as we are. You know, it takes time for spiritual growth. It doesn't happen overnight. So we have to give people a chance to develop and grow. And they're not going to get perfect overnight because they got born again yesterday.
And I think one deception that people have is, well, I know that I read that, you know, I read that part already.
Yeah.
So it's not just knowing it in your head, but it's feeding on that word, right? So it's we use the analogy of food, right? So food, when you eat food, you don't say, well, I ate that yesterday, so I don't have to eat today.
Yeah.
So reading every day, you know, getting into the habit of reading and studying and meditating the word every day is what strengthens you and what helps you grow.
Right. And so Isaiah 45:7. That's what it says. Look what it says here. It says it'll curl your hair this morning. Okay. I form light. This is God talking. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil. I do all these things. I, the Lord, do all these things. It's, you know, it sounds like that the Lord, he's doing a lot of dark things out there. He's making evil happen. And he's doing all these things. If there's any evil happening in our country, in our city, in our homes, in our community, according to this scripture, that God is doing that. God is creating evil. And let's go look at another scripture. Micah chapter 1, verse 12. It says, the inhabitants of Morath waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. It says that God came down and evil, he brought evil with him. Well, these scriptures don't make sense in terms of, you know, if you, like people, you know, some strong proponents sometimes of King James, they think divinely, the way it's written in there, that's what it is. You got to be a student in the Bible to understand different things. And it doesn't happen overnight. And I have one, I have a few relatives who send me different things sometimes, trying to teach me something. You know, I don't say anything. I just let them do whatever they. I just said, well, keep learning, praise God. But sometimes they just butcher up the scriptures and they don't know what you're doing. But you pray for these people. So they don't understand. They have to study. Like, you know, I'm just learning this, these things. It seems to be, it's coming into to me now. I mean, more you know, more clearly. The Bible says in James 1:17 that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It says over here in the other scripture in the Old Testament, it said evil came down from heaven, from the Lord. But it says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. He's a giver of light. He's a revelator of all that is good for us. And whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no, God doesn't change his mind about what he says. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't say one thing and then he changes his mind about it. So we see from the scriptures that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Glory to God. We can expect good from God today. You can expect good from God right now, wherever you are, in the name of Jesus. So from the King James Bible, it would seem to indicate to us that God is sending evil upon the people, upon his people. And well, that wouldn't make sense if God's sending evil, that God's sending sickness. And we know from studying the Bible, and if we know God's character, he ain't doing these kind of things. He's not using the devil to help him teach his own people. Then if God is sending evil and God is sending sickness, then he would cease to be God. Then he would cease to be like Satan. He's the one that's bringing this around. It would make God the devil, if evil came from God, that would make him no better than Satan himself or the devil. God isn't creating evil, but he is allowing evil. And we, you know, if you study the scripture, you'll see that God has to allow evil to happen because he's given people freedom of choice. If you and I want to go out there today and let's go hold up, a gas station or circle, what is that, Circle Square? Circle K convenience store. If you want to do that, we can. God will allow you to. And guess what? You'll be put in jail. So that's not going to happen.
Not a great idea.
It's not a good idea.
So God would allow it, but God doesn't commission it.
He didn't commission.
So
he didn't say.
Difference.
He didn't say. You couldn't say, "Well, the Lord led me to rob that, Circle K." So you'll find that you'll be circled around with the police. So here's Dr. Robert Young. This man is a well-accepted Hebrew Bible scholar and translator. He points out the fact that in the Hebrew verb in these scriptures, and particularly we see in Exodus 15:26, the Hebrew verb was translated in the causative sense rather than the permissive sense. The verb saying, he will put on. Rather than say he'll put on, he will allow. That's what the scripture is actually saying. So Dr. Robert Young is an author of Young's Analytical Concordance of the Bible. When reading these passages, it would seem to indicate to us that God is bringing disease upon his own people. He says, this Dr. Robert Young says, the literal translation should read like this. I will permit to be put upon thee none of these diseases. And there's a book written, None of These Diseases. And it's a good book. I will permit to be put upon thee none of these diseases which I have permitted to be brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. That makes more sense than reading it the first time we read it. See, God, first of all, didn't want to send sickness on Egypt. He gave them lots of warning of what he's going to do. But when they said no and persist in their knowledge of what God wanted them to do, and they kept turning their heads away, and God had to remove his hand, and these things came. So let's go over here. Jesus came, you know, to undo all the work of the devil. He came, Jesus came, as we saw in the four Gospels. Jesus came, and he never brought sickness on people. He never said, oh, I realize you got leprosy. Let's give you a little bit more. I realize you're blind, but let's go ahead and make your legs not work here. No, he never added on any sickness and disease. He always healed someone. Never once did he say, no, it's not my will. Never once did he say that. Never once did he tell people that it's God's will for you to be sick. And so, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 says this. He that committed sin is of the devil. So, you know, the devil is behind sin. And anybody that's sinning, you know, the devil's behind it. Anybody that's doing wrong, you know, the devil's behind it. Anything that's evil, you know, the devil is behind it. He said, he that committed sin is of the devil. Anything that's wrong out of the scripture, is the devil's behind that work. It says that, for the devil sinned from the beginning. He's talking about way back there. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. That's talking about Jesus. That he might destroy the works of the devil. I believe the Amplified says that he might undo the works of the devil. That he might destroy and undo the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Satan, you know, he's all about death and sickness and disease and pain and so on. He wants to kill and steal and destroy all of God's people, his church and so on. He hates God. He hates God's creation. He hates us. So this devil, he actually has some power, but only under darkness. You know, you know the scripture in Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13, it says that, you know, we thank God, so forth. And he says, you know, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. So God has delivered us from out of the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of light. So anyone that goes into darkness, that's why Jesus said, you know, be careful that you don't go into darkness because darkness will overcome you. That's what he said to his disciples there in John. And so if you persist in certain lifestyle, things can overtake in your life. So he says in here, he has the power to kill, steal, and destroy unless we come over onto God's side and take our authority and use the word of God against Satan and begin to take back what he's trying to steal from us. We have to resist the Bible. That's who resisted the Bible. Resist Satan. We have to resist Satan. The Bible says, you know, James 4:7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And we need to resist the devil and any sickness that comes on. Don't wait till you're really full-blown sick. You know, sometimes people get a symptom of the sick, some kind of sickness. And so they'll go on for a couple of 3 weeks until they're really sick and they expect one confession is going to heal that. But no, you know, you have to just immediately when even the thought of sickness comes, just say, no, I don't receive that. I mean, that's what I've learned to do.
And you can see how someone wouldn't resist if they have that doubt in their mind that, well, God might be sending this to teach me or God, you know, this might be from God. So if you have that belief, then you're not going to stand up against sickness.
You won't resist it, no? You just say, well, you know, this could be God's will. So the Son of Man was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we're going to see here in a minute what the works of the devil is according to the New Testament. So through his resurrection, Jesus took care of bringing, you know, the solution there. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He says, Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. In other words, we're human. We're made of natural, we're natural people. He also, that's Jesus, himself likewise took part of sin. In other words, he became flesh and blood, human like you and I when he became the incarnate man. That is through death that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. See, he says that because of his death, Jesus took back power from the enemy. That he took back from Satan what he had stolen from man, the authority that was given to him in the garden. So he had the power of death, that is the devil. So God wants to give us life and healing and health. And so the scripture says, and that's why the first in 1 Corinthians, you know, one day there'll be no more death. You know, once we're gone from here, the rapture's happened, we go to rapture, we've been taken up, and we'll go to heaven, and then we'll be judged there. We'll be rewarded for our works on earth, because the Bible says in Revelation, the only thing that we can take from here is our works, our good works that we do on in this world will be taken up. That's the only thing you'll take. You can't take your money, your property, or any kind of words you had in the man. And so you'll stand before God and give account of what you did. And so so one day when we come back with Jesus, Jesus' second coming, there's going to be a second coming. We're going to come back with him, and there'll be no more death. The Bible says at that time, you know, when we go to heaven, we'll have resurrected bodies. In a twinkling of an eye, we'll have resurrected bodies, and we won't have any trouble with sickness and disease.
And the Bible says that death is the final enemy.
Exactly.
So we're still under that shadow, right? But, you know, we have spiritual life now.
Mm-hmm.
So the life started in our spirit. So eternal life.
We don't have resurrected bodies right
now. We don't have resurrected bodies, but one day we will.
Mm-hmm. But God can quicken our mortal bodies.
Yes.
If we get sick, we can resist. So it says here, 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So one day there'll be no more death. You know, that kind of death as we know it today. You know, there's an everlasting death. That's complete separation from God forever. That's horrible if you don't receive Jesus. And so that's the last enemy. So we're under God's grace right now.
Yeah.
But there's a law of grace and there's a law of sin. Let's go over here to Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. It says in there, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. There are some Christians who actually feel condemned. And the answer is because they're not walking after the spirit. They're walking after the flesh. So they feel condemned. They feel unworthy because they're not living right. Their spirit is telling them, hey, you're not living right. If we decide to walk with God as closely as possible and follow his spirit, we're not going to be in condemnation. And so if we persist to walk in the flesh, we could be destroyed if we start walking by our flesh. It's very clear.
And that condemnation keeps us from using our faith, using our authority. You know, when we're talking about sickness, you're not going to feel confident. You're not going to be confident to stand against sickness.
Yes.
And to stand on the word. So it's really important to keep condemnation out of your life.
Right. Yeah, it's hard to resist the devil if you're messing around in one area and you try to be good in another area. It's hard to resist the devil. If your faith's not working, you can do what you want. You can rebuke all you want, but if you ain't living right, it's not going to go anywhere.
I know Brother Hagin told a story about a family that they weren't living right, but they always received their healing. So a person was interested in
baby,
you know,
Christian.
Yeah, why does this person always receive their healing even though they're not living right? And he said, well, what I can assume is that these people were always quick to repent and quick to believe. And that's a really good recipe for us. You know, if we struggle with things, be quick to repent. And when you're quick to believe, you can believe that healing. You can receive mm-hmm. that healing. That healing is always available. That's the thing. We just have to receive it and believe it.
Exactly. And the other family wasn't. Mm-hmm. They persisted and they were like proud and you know, they would say, why am I not healed? I live right. I work in the church. I give money. I'm the best one in church.
And that can be a roadblock to healing, right?
Exactly.
You know, trusting in yourself or trusting in your works to receive healing.
Yeah. It's all God, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, verse 2. Here's something. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There's a law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. What does it do? Has made me free from the law of sin and death. So, you know, sin and death always brings sickness and disease and pain and misery. We can be free from that if we walk in with Jesus, walk in the law of the Spirit. Walk in the things of God. Start obeying God. Start walking closely with the Spirit and obey Him when He says, give you a check to, you know, to do something and say, you know, this is not right. Go ahead and obey God. Sometimes people, they think they have to go, sinning would be like going selling drugs or something. Prostitution, drug abuse, stealing, robbing a bank or being violent. But there's more to that than anything. It's just like, you know, I remember Brother Hagin, you would say, Jesus said to him one of the visions, he said, I'll judge people quicker on spiritual sins rather than physical sins. That is, you know, having resentment, having hatred for the brother, gossiping. I mean, just different things that are not so, we would say, as bad. You know, I'm not as bad as somebody else, you know. At least I don't go and kill people. But it's all sin, isn't it? It's living in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, like as you say, and maybe we catch ourselves from sinning, being disobedient to God in some area. Say something like, somebody says, you know, God says, go and help out in the church. Go help Pastor Roma. I've heard people say, the Lord says, go help Pastor Roma, and they never showed up. Well, either God told them that or they didn't tell them that. I believe God told them that. No one's going to say, go help Pastor Roma. Who's going to say that? God has to say that. I remember one lady, she said to me, one morning I woke up, a cloud came from my ceiling, and a voice came out, and she said, go and help Pastor Roma. That's what he said. And so, they didn't listen. What happened to them? I don't know. They didn't stay around. So anyway, John 10:10, Jesus said this. He said, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. Well, Jesus said he came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. But John 10:10 says, the thief comes but to steal, to kill, destroy. That's what he's doing right now. And Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly.
And I just want to add Acts 10:38 here, because this is clearly for the healing ministry, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Yes.
So that healing is that ministry. God in action. You know, mm-hmm. The Father in action through Jesus.
Exactly. So John 10:10 goes along with that scripture. He said Jesus came to give life, not death. The devil's going around stealing and killing and destroying. As you mentioned, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. What kind of power was it? It was healing power. Who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil. He was saying that everyone who Jesus healed was oppressed of the devil with sickness. And Jesus came to undo that. And so we see Jesus contrasting the devil's work and his work. Satan's out destroying, he's giving life, he's out giving life. So notice this, another scripture that goes along with Acts 10:38, it tells us that Jesus, God was sending healing through Jesus, but Satan's going around killing people. And then Luke chapter 13, verse 16 says this about the woman who was bowed and bent over and couldn't move. She was like that for 18 years. There are some people right there, right now, out at home, you've been sick for 20 years, 30 years. In a moment of time, you could be healed. Well, you say, well, how could that happen? Well, it's supernatural. It's supernatural. This is divine healing. This is not natural healing. This is supernatural. Brother Hagin was born with a deformed heart, incurable blood disease. His chest was all deformed. His heart was, you know, enlarged and not working right. You couldn't heal. You'd need more than the healing. Like some people need more than the healing this morning. They need, you know, you need more than the healing. a healing is just a recovery of your body from something that, you know, that's sick. But when you get a miracle is something different from a healing miracle, where you like a deformed heart is, restored to a brand new heart, given to, like a brand new heart, brand new lungs, say for instance, or your eyes are blind and next thing you can see. That's a miracle. You see that in the Bible, and God can do that. He does those kind of things today. And you say, well, maybe not me. Well, listen, you need to start thinking, changing your mind about different things. So Luke chapter 13, verse 16 says, ought not this woman, Jesus talked about this woman who is sick for these 18 years. He says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound. Who did it?
Satan
did it. Mm-hmm. Satan did this to this woman. And he said, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. So he healed this woman that Satan had brought upon this woman. Sickness and disease, pain. Satan kept this woman in bondage and stole away her dreams and stole away her life and livelihood and stole away her ability to perform as a woman and a human being and a mom, whatever she'd had to do. Satan's going around stealing from people. I was watching something on CBC about Lyme disease. It destroyed people's lives, took all their money, took one family's money, all the mom and dad's savings, and they had to take all the savings and put it into this little girl, their daughter, so that she can be restored. And she's a little bit better now. She said, Mom said, I'd do whatever I can to recover my child. We'd do the same thing. We've done it.
Yeah. I really like that. Ought not this woman. You know, the religious people at this time, they were against Jesus for healing her because of religious laws. It was the Sabbath day or whatever laws. You know, but Jesus looked past that and said that this woman should be healed and mm-hmm. ought to be healed. So I like that. That's comforting.
Yes, we ought to be healed. There's people out there right now that they ought to be healed, but they're not healed right now. You ought to be healed. You ought to be well right now in the name of Jesus. Not a condemnation, but in the name of Jesus, you ought to be right in your healing in your body in the name of Jesus. I'm believing that right now.
Yes.
Praise God. So, So the Bible said there that Jesus, that Satan had brought that sickness, and we know from the scriptures that Satan's going around putting sickness on people. So we say, well, how does it do that? Well, it's through disobedience and so on. So sickness or death, sickness, disease comes in people's lives through sin. We know that from the scripture, right from the beginning. And let's go over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. Death will come if someone persists to be disobedient. Sickness will come to people who are disobedient and not, they won't correct themselves. It's very plain, 1 Corinthians 11, the Bible says that Jesus told Paul that people die prematurely because they persist in living a sinful lifestyle and different things, attitudes, negative attitudes towards God's people, towards the Word of God, towards God Himself, negative attitudes about different things, unbelief. God says people will be sick because of it. Having a bad attitude towards your Christian brother and sister can get you into a lot of mess. You don't want anyone of that. You know, the devil says it's okay for you to have some resentment. To keep some. Why don't you enjoy some anger? Go ahead and spit out some anger.
It's justified.
They treated you mean anyway. Go ahead. Talk about them. Gossip about them. Tell your friend about what they did to you. You know, that's what people, you know, they want to be justified in their wrongs. If you want to be justified in your wrongs, that's, you're living on the law. You know, we always joke around here, me and Pastor Ken, I'm going to get all that's coming to me, or you're going to get all that's coming to you. We try to turn that around and be negative. But we didn't get what we deserved. But God gave us, through Jesus, what we didn't deserve. The Israelites got all those lands and all the wonderful things they got The Bible said they didn't have to work for it. By the grace of God, they'd be able to win battles and victories, and they got lands and houses and different things. The Bible said they didn't have to work a day. God wants us to be blessed.
Yes, and we can receive healing, forgiveness. We don't have to work for it.
No, we don't have to work for it at all. Thank God, I'm going to have a nice meal today after this. You don't know you're going to buy me a meal. Huh? Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because of sin and wrongdoing, like here, immorality, something bad was about to happen. Evidently, a man took his stepmom or his dad's wife and started living with her, and like a man and wife would. And God had to allow, you know, certain things to happen. So let's go read here. 1 Corinthians 5, 1-5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. So what is fornication? What is fornication? I'm talking to you.
Oh. You want me to explain?
Yeah. What's fornication?
Well, it's sexual relationships outside of marriage, outside of the covenant of marriage.
Okay. So that's what it is. So now you know what's happening out there. She was reading a scripture. So anyway, so it is commonly reported that there is fornication among you. That's the church. Do you think there's any fornication going on in the church? Well, according to scripture, it is, because the Bible talks about it lots of times, Galatians, Romans, and all those other scriptures, and you know, that there is that going on, and God doesn't want that to happen. And we've seen these things happen over the years, and even in other churches, even took churches down.
Sure.
So, such as fornication, as it is so much named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, that's doubly bad. You are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that had done this deed might be taken away among you, for verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, I have judged already as though I were present concerning him that had done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such one to Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking here to deliver this guy who persists in sinning, turn him over to Satan so that he would die, but he would be saved. Because he's persisting, he would be judged for what he's doing, but he would be saved on the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means this guy could be saved. And then if people persist on sinning, they can go deeper into it and even discard the fact that they're saved and walk off and leave. So the people, he's saying that people should turn them over. You know, here's the thing about it. We always say, you know, well, so-and-so, you know, he's doing this and that. He's sinning and he's out there doing drugs again. We're just going to turn them over to the Lord. Well, according to this, you turn them over to Satan. I mean, if someone's persisting, so that he can be saved. I mean, that's controversial when you think about it, you know.
That's kind of heavy. But if you think about it the other way, there is a protection for people that remain in the church and in the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're sinning and you get out of church completely, there is a destruction. Like you said, you're walking in darkness, right? So you avail yourself of that, right? The darkness
right.
can come on your life and right. cause sickness and cause death, premature
but
death.
He said there, by the Spirit of God, this is God speaking through Paul. He said, turn him over to Satan. Instead of his body, Satan will attack his body, but he'll live. It's kind of funny here because we always say, let's turn him over to God. And yes, there's a time and place where we pray for someone, we take authority. You know, if someone's having a weakness, say they're having a weakness in their life, say they're having fornication problems, say for instance, they have problems with their sexuality and, you know, promiscuousness. And if they have a weakness in that, if they can't seem to get over it, we can pray with them if they allow us to. And then that way you can help them. But if they persist, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do this, what I want to do, and I don't care about this. So then you just turn them over. Apparently, according to this.
That's a scary place to be.
It is a scary place to be. You don't want to have that. So as we saw the contrast between Jesus and the devil, and John 10:10, Jesus came to give life, abundant life to us, but Satan came to destroy and kill. So we have to study the Word of God to know what the Word of God is. See, here's where some people say, okay, we have to understand, first of all, that God does not put sickness on his people. That's a roadblock. If it came through, philosophy of man, a tradition of men, if it came through superstition or religious beliefs, we have to destroy that by reading Scripture and understanding what God's Word actually says. You know, if you're reading the King James Version in some areas, it would seem that God is actually sending sickness on people. But nowhere do you find in the Bible, in the New Testament, nowhere do you find that God taught people a lesson, spiritual lessons, or whatever kind of lesson by sending sickness. You don't find that anywhere in the New Testament. You don't find it anywhere in the Gospels. None. Jesus never said it. Paul didn't say that we're going to teach him a lesson. Let's just put more sickness on him. No. So we know we have to study. Here's the scripture. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. Ashamed means, being disappointed, of course. If we study, we will rightly divide the word of truth. So when we study the Bible, we can rightly divide, not misappropriate and misinterpret Scripture, but appropriate the word of God. We have to know what happened in the Old Testament, what Jesus did under the New Covenant, what the devil has done, God's character, Satan's character, and how Satan comes in people's lives as far as sickness is concerned.
And I just want to add that there is the role of the Holy Spirit in our studies. So if there's a question or something that you're struggling with, mm-hmm. in the Word of God, like maybe it is a misinterpretation of a verse, ask the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who brings illumination and really opens the Word to us. So we need his help. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you might ask him today, but you might not get the answer for, maybe a long time. And even this last day seminar that we just attended, so many questions that I had in my heart, the Holy Spirit brought that to me and gave me answers. And he's there to teach you. It might not be instant that day, but he will lead you to the right answers.
Sometimes you're asking the wrong question.
True.
The Lord, you'll ask a question, and the Holy Spirit knows that that's not the real question you're asking. You're asking something different. And so he'll give you something else to answer the question that you just asked. And very often over the years, I've asked questions to the Lord, but I didn't get the next day or the next week or even that year. I got it down the road when I needed to know what it is. Things, open up to me. So if you have a question, ask the Lord. He'll tell you. He'll show you. Sooner or later, he's going to show you. He's very faithful to it. So nowhere in the New Testament, as we said, that God will send sickness on people. In the Old Testament, God allowed plagues to fall upon the Egyptians, like the Egyptians and his people, because of disobedience. And people must often quote Bible verses of Scripture, and they say that God sends it. Say, for instance, in the New Testament, or let's go to the Gospel, John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7, I heard the Scripture for years and did not understand this until the illumination came to me about what he's talking about over here. In John chapter 9, people said this man was sick for the glory of God. And I've heard people say that in my own circle, that they said they're suffering for the glory of God. That couldn't be Bible. The Bible said himself took our infirmities. Matthew 8:17 says himself. He didn't need you to carry the pay for your sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22 said the same thing. Who himself? Jesus did it. He don't need you and me to carry some of it. He took it all. So let's go read here, John chapter 9, verse 1 to 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. Some people are sick right from the beginning. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, they knew something. They even had this philosophical idea, because you could sin in your mother's womb. And how could a baby sin? You can't sin. And so, who did sin, this man or his parents? So they knew from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament taught the way you live affects your children, that those sins could go down or the sickness could be passed on. That's why Jesus came and broke that curse of transmission from generation to generation. And so it says in here, this man or his parents, that he was. So Jesus said neither. He said none of it. This man wasn't sick because he sinned in the mother's womb. He's not sick because his parents sinned and it was passed on to him and he was attacked. He said neither. Jesus said neither. Neither had this man sinned nor his parents that the works of God should be manifest in him. Now, all these, you see these punctuations and all that, that's put there by man. And if you read it the way they punctuate it, it would seem to indicate that God put this man, made this man sick. And that's what people say. And if you read it in another way, that the works of God should be made manifest, I must work the works that him that sent me this day, while the night cometh, that when no man can work. Mm-hmm. So he says that he came to do the work that God wanted him to do. In other words, heal this man who was born this way. He was sick. I mean, he was ill. He had his eye, he couldn't see. Mm-hmm. So, as long as I'm in the world, I'm light of the world. He says in there. When he had spoken, he just spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. Now, you can't do that today under COVID-19, spit on someone's eyes. I mean, you have to shield yourself. I mean, Jesus would have been arrested. Right? True. I mean, if I said to you, if you're coming by the church this afternoon, and if I spit in your eye, you'd be healed. There'll be police out there today.
Good thing there's other methods of healing.
Thank God. You say, well, can I have another method, please? Can you just speak over me with a shield on? And so he made clay of the spittle and anointed the man's eyes, the blind man's eyes of clay. And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. So he had to go and obey what God said. Otherwise, the man would not have been healed. Mm-hmm. It would have not been finished. The healing would have started, but he would have not been healed. I said it would have started, but it would have not been healed. Because some people, they get their healing started, yes, and they don't finish off what God told them to do. They don't obey.
Right. So there's some faith involved for the man as well.
Exactly. And yet there was gifts of the Spirit and manifestation, and yet he still had to obey. Mm-hmm. True. Sometimes I say, there's someone here God wants to heal of this, and everybody's just sitting there. Well, you have to obey God. Mm-hmm. Even if you thought it might be you, just jump up, praise God. And it might not even be you, but you're going to be healed. Because mm-hmm. you obey God. Yeah, jump in. If the water's flowing, as they said, you know, if the river of healing is flowing, just jump in. I mean, I've heard people say that before. You know, I remember I've seen it in the prophet of God. Okay, it's not you, but just go ahead and jump in. You'll be healed too. Mm-hmm. When the healing flow, go ahead and jump in. So you take the after effect there. And so, which is by interpretation sent, he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. He obeyed God. Mm-hmm. But you see, people say here in this scripture that the man was born blind. God made him born blind so that he could send Jesus to heal him. See, that's man's thinking.
Right.
God doesn't make people unwell. God doesn't send people. He didn't even want any of the sacrifices crippled them. He can tell God wants everything well. Mm-hmm. So people say this man was sick for the glory of God, but the glory of God was that Jesus came to heal him. Mm-hmm. That's how God got glorified. Many people use the scripture and say that God wants people sick for his glory. So it's tradition. It's unscriptural. It's not what the rest of the Bible. It doesn't fit with the rest of the Bible. No, this man was healed for the glory of God. And if you read the translation, if you could look at the translators added, punctuated here, and put it to fit their ideas.
Right, because in verse 3, if there was a period instead of a comma after neither this man nor his parents sinned, period, it changes the whole meaning of...
And you're an English major.
So a comma or a period makes a big difference here, especially here. And, you know, maybe they thought they were giving it the right translation, but it doesn't fit with the character of God.
No, it doesn't. So God does not create evil. If you believe right now that God's creating evil in our communities, you need to check your theology. You know, so we need to come out of this by getting scripture to our so here's the next one. We might have to finish it next time, but here's the second thing that people say. Well, it might not be God's will to heal me.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. First one is that, what's the first one again?
That God sends the sickness.
God sends sickness. But we know that Satan sends sickness. Mm-hmm. But it's not God. So the next one is that it might not be God's will to heal. So they don't know whether or not it's God's will to heal. Let's go to Romans, and we're going to finish off this study, but we're going to look at a few things here. Let's go to Matthew chapter, let's see.
I think if people get these roadblocks, they get the word of God settled in their hearts, you know, they're going to be receiving their healing every time.
Yes.
There's no reason not to receive your healing.
Mm-hmm. We're going to read here Matthew chapter 8. So this next roadblock is that it might not be God's will to heal me. So we're going to see this right here in Matthew chapter 8. And you know, in the four Gospels, we have 19 individual cases of healing. And all these cases of healing, these individualized cases, teach us about what we ask about concerning healing, the questions we might have about God and about our healing, and gives us solutions of how to be healed. So right over here in Matthew chapter 8 is a huge, huge roadblock and a magnificent question whether or not God wants you well. So Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 2. And behold, there came a leper. Now, let me just ask you, so what is a leper?
Well, back then, a leper was a person with a disease, chronic, incurable skin disease, basically that ate away at their body, and they were they had to be isolated, so they were basically lived in isolation from the rest of the population because it was contagious.
Okay, because they couldn't live among normal, regular, everyday people. They couldn't go to the mall or downtown. So what if they went downtown? What would happen?
That was a no-no. They'd have to yell out, unclean, unclean, and then people would kind of just keep their 6 feet.
They
apart.
Weren't allowed to come into town, but if they came by a town.
Yes, yes.
They were colonies of...
They were colonies, yes. Yeah. They had to live amongst themselves.
And they would lose their body parts,
horrible.
Fingers.
A horrible disease.
Yeah.
And there still is leprosy today in different parts of the world as well.
Mm. But it's not as prominent as it was back then. And this is a horrible disease. Eats away at your flesh. So behold, there came a leper, and what did he do? He worshipped him, worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, Lord, remember he's saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. So this leper, he called him Lord, and he believed that God could heal him through Jesus. See, this is something there that's very revealing, that he believed that God could. Yes. But his question was, would he heal me? Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of people. That's This answers a whole pile of things. While people are sick, they're asking, God could do it, but I don't know if he'd heal me. Maybe I'm not good enough. You know, maybe I've sinned too much.
And this was someone with the worst case of sickness ever, right?
Yeah, you couldn't mingle with people. You couldn't ever go home again. You couldn't go to a shopping mall, buy a suit of clothes and eat in a restaurant. You couldn't go anywhere. Like, you think it's bad right now, being isolated for 30 days. And people are going all crazy, right? Now let's go to the next scripture, verse 3. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him.
Yes.
He touched the leper. And I will, he says, be thou clean. So you said something very key, and that is that Jesus is the will of God in action. So in other words, this is God's will right here. Mm-hmm. I want to heal you. Mm-hmm. Be healed. Yes. So that's the question.
And if people can settle that question, knowing, I think every Christian knows God can. He's able to. He's powerful. He's, you know, he can do any kind of healing and miracle. But will he do it for me? So if people can settle that question, then healing is theirs.
Mm. Let's go further on, Matthew 8, 17, 16 and 17. Let's read these, and we're going to end with this, these two scriptures. So the question is, maybe it might not be God's will to heal me. When evening was come, verse 16, they brought unto him many that was possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all that were sick. In other words, he didn't lay hands upon them. He didn't anoint them with oil. He just spoke a word over them. Be healed. So on. That cast out the spirit with his word and heal all that were sick. He healed all that were sick. They brought many there, and he healed every one of them, every one of those that they brought to him. This is the will of God in action. Verse 17 tells us why he healed everyone. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying himself, Jesus himself, took our infirmities and bare sicknesses. Matthew is quoting Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. That Jesus himself took our sicknesses and our disease. He became the answer to our disease and sickness right there. So it is God's will that we be well.
Yes, and I like this. This is quoted in the Old Testament. It's quoted in this intertestamental time, which is the Gospels. And then it's also quoted again in 1 Peter 2:24. So three times for three different eras, healing is not passed away. Healing is for us today.
Mm-hmm. So 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. So it tells us that it's God's will to heal you. Let's go ahead and pray for everyone right now. And Father,